this morning, I do want to, just for a little while, I'd like to share with you some thoughts that I've had on my heart and my mind this past week. And as we come, and I invite you to turn to the book of Exodus. And as we go there, in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, go forward. Go forward. I guess probably some of this has been somewhat instigated by this thing of revival. You know, Jesus, before he went back to ascend back into heaven, he says, go. Go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And then he says, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have taught you. And what he's saying, the doctrine of Jesus Christ is what he's saying. But then we go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. If you'll turn there, I want to read in your hearing this morning. But I would like to begin reading verse 13. And it's rather lengthy reading. But I think one thing we have failed over the years is not reading enough scriptures in the worship service. So I want to begin in Exodus chapter 14, begin in verse 13. And I want to read through verse 29, if I may. And it reads thusly, and Moses said to the people, stand still. That don't sound like going forward, does it? He says, stand still. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you this day, today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Isn't that a comforting? The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, they shall fall them, and I will give me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, but I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and there was cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry up, dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, and on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them to the midst of the sea, even all the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariots' wheels, and they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. And the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus, verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and the Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. You believe that? You believe that? I believe that. Because the Word of God is true. But let me tell you what has happened. You know the children of Israel, they went into Egypt, in the land of Goshen, when Isaac was, there was starvation in the land. They went there, and there was a Pharaoh that knew Joseph, and it goes a long way back. But what happened, because of Joseph, they were blessed, they were allowed to come into that land, and for 400 years they had prospered, and they had multiplied, and they had multiplied, and they were a great nation, and there came a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And that Pharaoh said, look at all these Israelites, that if we begin to war, they'll turn and fight against us. because they're strangers in the land. And they made slaves out of them. They put them into hard work, hard labor. And they begin to see a need, and they begin to feel the taskmaster and the whips and those things of the Egyptians as they were slave drivers, what they were. And they cried out to God, and God said, I'll deliver you when they cried out. This is what I've said a number of times. When God's people come to the point that we cry out to God for deliverance, God will hear our prayer and God will bless us with deliverance. I'm convinced of that. But when many other times you find where the children of Israel have cried out to God and God delivered them from their affliction. But as they went, you know, we know the 10 plagues, and God was ahead of them, and God had already prepared for Moses to be born and be saved from destruction by the Pharaoh that killed all the male children. But the Lord had prompted that, and he did all those things that are miraculous in the sense of preserving Moses, that Moses would be the one to lead the children out of bondage out of Egypt. We also know that there were 10 plagues that he went to Pharaoh, and he said, I am sent me, and let my children go. And he said, go where? And they said, let's go out there, we might worship. He said, well, you go a little way, but you leave your children, your possessions, and everything else, you can't go. And he worked around where God told Moses, he said, just show them that we're going to take them out. And so we know today that there were 10 plagues over Egypt. And I won't go over those. You can study that if you. But it's miraculous what happened. We find that there was a plague of everything turned to blood. There was a space that all the land was covered with frogs. There were flies. There was darkness. It got so dark that they could not even see. Nothing moved during the day. But the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was, it was light. That's a miracle. But what I want you to see is this. Every time Pharaoh was hard and hard, and he said, no, I won't let them go. And finally, God sent the death angel, which I believe was coming over that land. And he told the children of Israel, he said, take your lamb. Take your lamb, first lamb. And they gave me those things that will give, that lamb was to be perfect in all respect. But said, take that lamb and slaughter that lamb. There's so much preaching in this morning. But say, when you slaughter that lamb, said, you take the blood of that lamb and you sprinkle it over your doorpost. You put it over the side and you put it over the top. And when the death angel comes through Egypt, he'll see the blood and he'll pass over you. That's where the word Passover comes from. And I think one thing that I see that he didn't say, put it on the floor. Brother and sister, we don't step over and we don't step on the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't step on the blood of the Lamb. But we go through it and we go under it and we're covered as we go by. And we know as he went, and that was the night that happened in Egypt. There was one thing that was of the household of Egypt, the firstborn of men and the firstborn of cattle and dogs, anything that was firstborn in that day and time, they found that death had pervaded, and there was death in Egypt, but in the land of Israel there was no death because God saw the blood and passed over. And so Pharaoh said, take him out and get out of here. We want you to go. And as he went out, he sat there and he went, and Pharaoh said, you know, we've lost our labor force. All these that have been so diligent and we've been driving them to do this work that our people didn't want to do, they're slaves. We've lost our labor force. Get up the chariots, get up the horses, get up, we're going to go bring them back. And they begin to follow him out, and Moses, as he led the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, they went and they came to the Red Sea. And this is what this is talking about. They came to the Red Sea, and they looked behind them. Here came Pharaoh with his chariots and his army. He came, and if you study the scripture, he says they could not turn to the right. They could not turn to the left because they were mountainous regions there. In front of them, the sea was there. The Red Sea was there. Behind them, here comes Pharaoh and his army. But you know, the cloud that was between them, that's another subject. But the Lord, he gave us during that time as they were waiting. And you know, verse 13, there they were. They were at the Red Sea. And as they were waiting there, they couldn't go through because the Red Sea was full as it ever was. And God told Moses, he says, tell the people to stand still and see the Lord's salvation. Were they going to heaven? No. They were going across the Red Sea. Brother and sister, salvation has more entities than eternal. I think we're delivered from day to day. I think there's many times that I've been delivered from afflictions in this world. There's been many times I think I've been delivered from those things that would have been harmful to me. But where they was going, stand still and see the Lord's salvation. See the Lord's deliverance of a nation of people from the hands of Pharaoh. And that night, as they came, and then the next day, you recall, as I read the scripture, in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. I can just see Moses now taking that rod and holding over that sea, and what happened? Miraculous things. It said there'd been a strong east wind that night, and it dried out the sea. Walls of water standing up. You believe that? I do, because even archaeologists, I think I mentioned this last Sunday. Is anything too hard for the Lord to do? No, there's not. Archaeologists have discovered actual Egyptian chariot wheels in the midst of the Red Sea at the bottom today. Yes, they were destroyed. And the children of Israel went across on dry ground. By faith, Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 29, I think it is. It speaks about by faith. Let me just read it. By faith, believing God, knowing that God, they were not afraid of going there. That water was standing up. But it says this, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians had saved to go to do were drowned. So in the New Testament, it gives credence to that. But then when they got through, God said, Moses, take that rod and hold it over, and went back and they drowned it. What did he say? Go forward. Go forward. When we talked about this morning, I'm going to tell you, we have that as an illustration of the power of God. But he did it that way he might go forward. How many times has God opened the door for us to go forward and we set back? I thought about this a number of times. I had a little more to say, but do you recall that when the children of Israel, or God's people, when Jesus ascended back into heaven, he told his people, he said, go forth, teach all nations. Go, teaching them whatsoever things I've commanded you to teach them, what I've taught you to do. Then on the day of Pentecost, the church was empowered. 3,000 souls were saved or converted. And the church was empowered. And what did they do? Well, did they go? No, what they did, they sat there in Jerusalem. They didn't go. What happened? I believe that God allowed persecution to come upon the church, and the church was scattered. In the book of Acts, you go study in, it says, as they went forth fleeing persecution, they spread the word of God. The word spread, the apostles, the word was spread in that day and time over all the known world at that time. But they were told to go forward. And as we look at that and think about it today, the Lord for us, that's what it is. We think about that. The Lord will fight for us. Yes, He'll fight for us. The Lord for us simply means that He's between us and the fire. He's between us and the danger. And then we see that the angel of God on that cloud, He moved from the front, leading them to the front, to the back, protecting them until they were able to go across that Red Sea. Now last Sunday I mentioned about that God is able to deliver His people. And I mentioned the fact that in Scotland how that the authorities, the governmental authorities had authority to arrest Christians as they gathered, and they would gather out in the woods. They'd gather anywhere they thought they were hiding. And they would go and try to find him and arrest him and jail them. And the story is told that in one occasion, I've told you this last Sunday, that a government official were approaching him, and he said they all that was there, as they began to pray, "Lord, cover us, cover us." And that fog just rolled in. Could see us in front of your face. And the children of God, they were able to escape from that. There's others. The others talk about in the Netherlands, there was a time when they were being really prosecuted, pursued, and it's about the same time they was lights and flashing lights and noises were sent to God by God and confused the invading or the arresting army, and they were able to skip out. God has been in many ways. I told you about the North Koreans. As the North Korea was going to approach them in their church, and how that they were saved because of prayer all night, and a ship was made available to them. But the Lord part of us, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something this morning. My Bible teaches me that the Lord will fight for us, that the Lord is for us. And He tells me in the Word of God that He will be with us. That's one of the precious promises that we have as God's people today. That I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But we need to walk in obedience to claim those promises. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, Isaiah said this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." We have precious promises today. Brothers and sisters, yes, we're troubled. We're perplexed sometimes. But what can we do with those things? We need to remember that the Lord is for us. The psalmist says, "When I am afraid, then will I trust in the Lord." And there are times that we're afraid. But we have fear that comes upon us, and it's God's people. There's times that we will be dismayed. There are times that we'll be discouraged. There are times. And what he's saying, take stock, take stock, take hope. I'm with thee. And God for us just simply means he's on our side as his people. When I think about that, when we think about that, God is such an awesome God that there's nothing too hard for him. When one opposes God, someone has said, when someone tries to oppose God, just as in our Bible study list, we find that Haman was trying to oppose God, and God's not even mentioned in the book of Esther. But he says that when we try to oppose God and go against God's word and treat with contempt and just indifference, it's somewhat like birds who dash against the lighthouse light windows. As they are attracted by that light, yeah, but to their dismay, they're destroyed. God is light. And there are those today that try to tell you that God is nothing. Some will tell you this morning that the story I just read to you, that that's a fiction, that's Jewish fables, and that's not real. But I'm going to tell you this morning, it's real. God for us is something that we should claim, we should grasp, we should embrace, and we should trust, we should obey, and claim the blessings. Do you think God's going to bless those that spits in his face? Those that treat him with contempt and with just indifference? God has warned us about that. He says, be careful lest you slip, lest you drift away. And you know, I think about this so often, brothers and sisters. How many times in God's Word does he tell us to remember? Because he knows that we are so forgetful. Remember, remember, lest I forget, remember. Remember what the Lord has done for us. And I can remember, and I've used this a time or two, I know here, in a previous church where I passed. I had a young man one day. He told me, he said, "Brother Ed, I wish things could be like it was when I first came to the knowledge that the Lord loved me and had saved me." I said, you can. You can. When you draw, James says, draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. He tells us that. But he says, whatever temptation that comes down the pipe, anything that comes down upon us that would draw us away from God, God says, I made a way to escape. What is that way of escape? Leaning upon the Lord, calling upon the Lord. The Lord for us is our hope in this day and time in which we live. When we think about faith, as I already said, Hebrews 11:29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. I'm going to tell you this morning that we truly believe that God is God and His power is awesome and His power is there's no way to even imagine the power that is His. The power over creation, the power over mankind, power over the oceans and the seas. His power is unlimited. How do I know that? So it's Matthew 28. Jesus says, all power. All power is given me in heaven and in earth. We serve a powerful God. We serve a loving God. And we have a God that does love us. And we have a God that will fight for us. But He has told us, go forward. Go forth. Go forth. I believe with all my heart this morning, brothers and sisters, that the Lord has a purpose for every one of us. That He has died for and shed His precious blood and redeemed us, and we're His. And that is not to treat Him with contempt or just apathy and unconcern, because the church is precious to God. The church is precious to Jesus Christ, because whether we like to think about it or not, we are a blood-bought people, and we are His. And when we recognize that and we honor that and we strive to please Him in obedience, I believe that our power is magnified beyond anything we think it could be. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful, and He has invited us to make our petitions known unto Him. And I would just meditate upon this. Not only do I meditate upon it, but I would have you to meditate upon this thing. The power of God, how great it is. And by that same power, He has bought a people that are His. We're redeemed and heaven's our home. But by that same power, we can live a life of righteousness. And we can enter into a kingdom that's now. That's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we can be blessed with that. And it can make the troubles that come down the pipe. Yes, there'll be troubles. Jesus says in His Word, He says, in this world you shall have tribulation. But He says, don't be concerned. I will overcome everything. Just cast your cares upon me. I believe that's the answer today. I believe if we did that, and we turn from the world, we turn to Christ, and we cast our cares upon Him, and we cry out to Him. I believe if we would draw nigh unto Him, He would draw nigh unto us. And I believe He would bless us with renewal in our lives. I believe He would bless us with strength to put Him first, and to walk in a godly and a fashionable way, that He might be honored, He might be praised, and that we as His people might be blessed. I believe that's what America needs this morning, is to draw nigh unto God and to love Him like we ought. Now, what is that? Love Him with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be a blessing to see love truly in action in our lives? The love that we should have for God would make us want to serve Him better. The love that He has for us would cause us to love one another in a more perfect way. And with that love will come those times of kindness and compassion and caring and just a closer walk with Him. May God bless us that we know the power of our through Christ Jesus. The power to live a righteous life.
Let's try. Let's do it. Let's cry out for revival in our nation. Let's cry out for revival in Frank Church. Let us make a commitment that if we love Him like we all, we're going to serve Him as we should. And may God bless us with my prayer this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank You. Oh Lord, thank You for Your love towards us. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Word, the Bible. Thank You for those that spread the Word. Lord, thank You for Your love towards us. Now, Father, touch us in such a way that we know that You are our Redeemer. And Father, may we follow as we should. Oh God, forgive us for neglect, for drifting, unconcerned, indifference, and apathy. But Father, help us to love You all like we all. These things I do ask in Christ's name. Amen.